But anyways, we thought we would give you these to hand out with your candy, if you'd like them, and they're all over in the back. A couple other things I need to bring up to you guys up to speed. I'm so used to seeing things around here that I don't realize when you're new or newer that you don't know why. So how many people have wondered why these flags have popped up on the wall and they had no idea why? See, there are some. So those are our missionary reminders. So the month of October, we tend to use that as our missionary month. And when I first got here, we would plug in as many missionaries in October as we could. And then as we've kind of developed the missionary committee, we've actually got missionaries that come out all through the year. So we kind of got away from just plugging them in October. But we do hang the flags and put it in your mind's perspective to remember our missionaries. And these flags represent different missionaries we support. And as I say that, we actually have one of our missionaries coming in within the first 2 weeks of November. So please, when you see those, think of our missionaries, pray for them. And then we have a missionary board in the back, and we try to keep all the letters update so you can go back there and read them, see how our missionaries are doing and what their needs are. So do that. Another thing is our website. How many people have went on Facebook and you can't find the message, Facebook Live, so you're always like, what am I going to do? Anybody? Nobody's going to admit it, right? I get some of those sometimes messages. If you go to our website, Bethel Baptist Church, and here it is, if you look right here in the top corner, let me get my little light turned on, there's a little play button right there. This will take you to Facebook, but let's say you can't find the message there. If you hit that button right there, it will actually take you to our YouTube channel, and I have been loading that up, the live stream. I've been loading that up Sunday afternoon, and so or Sunday night sometimes, so you'll be able to go there. So you just hit that again, it'll take you right to the YouTube, and then the channel lists every message we've recorded. Or if you scroll down on that page, you can also listen to it audibly. So there's Facebook Live you can go to. There's the podcast where you can listen to it audibly. Or you can go here and you can actually watch it there. So I just want to get you guys those information. Because when I start hearing two or three different people asking me, I'm like, there's probably more that don't know. So I just wanted to kind of bring you up to speed on that. All right, so another thing I want to recognize this morning, Bruce and Louise, and I can't say their last name. I asked them how to say it right, and it starts with an H. It's like Hulk. I say it wrong. They're headed down for the winter, so this is their last Sunday with us, so please pray for them. Is there anybody else that's heading south for the winter, and this is their last Sunday? Anybody else? Didn't say would want to, but so... We pray for them as they are down in Florida, and they said they'll be back next spring. We like to hear that, right? And I know we'll have, like, Chet and Debbie will be leaving in the weeks ahead. We have the Murphys that are going to be heading out November 1st. So next week, Bonnie Murphy is going to get up here and cry her eyes out and tell you how she's going to miss you. But let us know if you're heading out so that we can pray, because I want you guys to pray for Bruce and Louise, please, that everything goes well, that they can find their way back up here, and they have a great winter while the rest of us are knee deep in snow. Yes, praise the Lord. All right, and I think, for the men, if you guys would sign up for the Iron Sharpens Iron, I am going to purchase the tickets this week, and I'm only going to buy maybe a couple tickets over than what is already signed up, so it's not like I'm going to grab a whole bunch over, and because it's the early bird special, $49, so you say, who do you pay? You could pay myself, or you could pay Kip, and then what I do is I have an envelope, and I put it in the envelope, and I mark you paid. So that'll be a great time. I'll give you some more announcements on how we're going to meet and everything else later on. But this morning, we're getting the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Romans 8. Romans 8 this morning. Good morning. I am so happy to see you here. To be in the house of the Lord is awesome. It's awesome to worship together, to have the church here, the body of Christ. I'm thankful if you're part of a small group. How many people are loving their small groups? Would you be able to raise? Yeah, there are people all over. It is amazing. It's one of those things that as it starts over and takes on its own life, people are just part of these small groups, and they're really clicking and loving. And I'm so thankful that we went that direction. Leadership took a step of faith, and God is really doing it. So it's awesome to see that. As you don't even know, some of our men are off on a camping excursion this weekend. They have this thing that they do, and praise God for that. I mean, that's awesome stuff. And so I'm glad that you guys are part of small groups. If you're not, see myself, see Peter. We'll plug you into one and tell you the benefits of it. So the title of the message this morning is, easy for you to say. Last week we talked about how to do things for God, and I talked about me, myself, and I, and then I talked about what we're supposed to, according to Paul's word, or God's word, using Paul, on how we should live. And as I started reflecting back on that and putting the messages together in a series, I started thinking, it's easy for you to say. Anybody ever thought like that? You ever heard somebody say something, you're like, easy for you to say, right? You watch the diet commercials, you watch whatever it is, it's easy for that person to say, right? And some of them, the good infomercials, will really sell you on how easy something is. Well, last week we talked about me being the biggest troublemaker in my life, and by show of hands, how many people would admit you're your own biggest troublemaker, right? Yeah. We looked at Romans 7, verses 14 through 25, and the points were maturing Christians, they struggle with sin, maturing Christian desire to seek and serve God, and maturing Christians will surrender to the Holy Spirit. And we talked about that we'll always sin. And then I also talked about that we need to feed the new dog, the new nature, and surrender to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And with all that said, that's when I started thinking, it's easier said than done. It's easy for you to say. You don't work, live, and aren't married to, etc., right? It's easy. Yeah, Chad said it's easy because he remembers working. It's not about marriage, right, brother? Helped you out on that one. There you go. It's easier said than done. Sometimes I've heard, I remember when I used to tell my pastor, oh, pastor, it's easy for you to say. You're a preacher. You can live it. You're in the Word every day. Then I got there. Woo! There's just as much, if not more, distractions to keep you out of the Word of God when you're in the ministry than when you're not. So it was ignorant of me to say that. So then I say this. Yes, I struggle with sin. Yes, I would like to desire to seek and serve God. I would love to be obedient to be able to strengthen my new faith. Preacher, what you're selling looks good on paper, but it's easier for you to say than do. You ever go to Staples? They have that button in Staples right there. This is totally not my message, but it is pretty addictive to hit that button over and over again. I like to drive the cashier crazy. I just hit it over and over. That's easy. Now they got it in different languages, so it's really cool. So I just keep pushing that button. Not one time has the cashier smacked me. My wife has, but the cashier hasn't. I want one of those buttons. Better be careful. Now I'll get six of them. So I hear what she said, and I don't want to, so... You say, well, how do we live it? Show me the money. Anybody remember Jerry Maguire? Show me the money. How do I live this daily? Tomorrow morning, how do I put all of this into action? How do I feed that new dog that you're talking about? And I think as we look at Romans chapter 8, we're going to see Paul gives us the answer to that. Well, God's word gives us the answer to that. But let's go to the Father and pray first. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to be in your house and to praise you. God, we thank you for your word that is so alive and real. God, we pray as we center in on it this morning, we would calm our hearts and we would forget about the things that are still to do today and tomorrow and just focus on how you would want us to live. God, you knew this life would be tough, but you did it through the work of your Son. You did it for us. You've given us the example. You'll do it for us if we surrender and allow the Holy Spirit to lead us. So God, I pray that you would encourage each person here today that as they think about the different stumblings they deal with, the daily struggles, that you would just feed them, encourage them. Use one of us to encourage. Maybe somebody that's been in the same walk that they're in. God, I pray for your word this morning. I pray that we would hear it. I know that it will not return void. But God, I pray that our hearts would be challenged, not be afraid of correction, not be afraid of conviction, but embrace it. Lord, if I was to say something that wasn't your will, Lord, I pray you take it from me. Lord, I thank you for those that aren't here this morning that are sick and they're watching by Facebook Live, and those that are traveling and those that are out camping, and you know those that aren't here for other reasons. God, I pray you be with them. I pray that you heal them. I pray that you encourage them. And I pray that you bring them safe back here. We love you, Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, easy for you to say. So if I was to ask, and so how do I do this? Well, the number one thing that, how do I live this, I found in the scriptures, focus on what God has already done. And let's look at verses 1 and 2 here. It says, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. So our first thing we need to do when we're trying to figure out how to live daily, and we have those things coming in. So tomorrow morning, the first thing you need to do when you roll out of bed, you need to pick up God's Word. And we talked about that in our small group, that we need to pick up God's Word. First thing we need to do after you brush your teeth, right, and you get your cup of coffee, before you open up Facebook, before you open up anything that's going to distract you, we need to focus on what God has done. We need to think about what He's done in our lives. This is going to start feeding that spiritual dog, because the minute you don't, that carnal dog is going to be fed. Because I don't know about you, but it doesn't take very long when I go onto Facebook. Is there a lot of positive things on Facebook? No. A lot of times there's a lot of people just waiting to just hammer you, right? And so the minute you go to that Facebook, you might become discouraged, or Instagram, or Twitter, or whatever it is that you're using, or Snapchat. I mean, so the first thing we do is we need to focus on what God's done. And these verses share in verse 2, the first thing we need to think about what God has done is God has freed us. We've been set free, verse 2. If you're a believer here this morning, you've been set free. The Spirit gives you freedom that you no longer have to sin. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17 says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, freedom. This means if you sin, you choose to do so, not because you must live that way any longer. Warren Wiersbe said this, and I put his quote. It says, freedom does not mean that I am able to do whatever I want. That's the worst kind of bondage. Freedom means I have been set free to become all that God wants me to be, to achieve that all that God wants to achieve and enjoy all that God wants me to enjoy. I am not condemned for my sin, and I am not constrained to sin. I am also not charged with my sin. So we need to remember, the first thing we need to remember when things start going downhill, anybody have those moments where things go downhill? Anybody roll out of bed and it's just one of them days, it's like, bam! Nobody? I had one. It was Thursday morning and it was just going downhill quick. I mean, 6 o'clock in the morning, phone's ringing off the hook, all you know what is just going crazy, from the house to things in Cadillac to the courthouse. And everywhere I'm turning, I'm praying like, Lord, please just make the soda, the diet soda, make it cold this morning. Give me something here. Because I'm flipping to lose it here. I'm ready to go crazy. And it was one of those days. Anybody ever had those days? I mean, 6 o'clock in the morning, just things are going crazy. And you're like, wait a minute, you want me to open my Bible, preacher? You got to see what my morning looked like that day. But we need to remember, I had to remember that Jesus set me free. I don't have to choose to go down that sinful road. What's that sinful road look like to me? It's when I start getting overcome with anxiety. And I start lashing out at people. And I start becoming rude. And that's what can happen if I don't remember that I've been set free from my sin. So I can't look and say, oh, wait a minute, all this stuff happened because of A, B, C, D, E. No. Those are the circumstances that were laid out before you. You've been set free from that lifestyle and that response. Secondly, we have God's forgiveness. Verse 3. Look at verse 3. For the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. This means that you and I can never be condemned for our sins because the price has already been paid for that which condemned us. Our sin that condemned us has been paid for, taken for by Jesus Christ. Do you know that means not only your sin in the past, but your sin in the present and the future? Are you hearing me? That's why Paul and the other apostles say so much, don't use your liberty and your cloak that Christ has given you to do malicious things. You've been given this freedom. Don't use this freedom to do unrighteousness. It shouldn't be that way. But when you sin, when you lash out, you are no longer held accountable for that. You are held accountable in, of course, consequences. But that sin will never be put on you because Jesus took it. We've got his forgiveness. Notice that God condemned the sin, but not the sinner, because he sent the Savior to be the offering, the sin offering. What the law could not do, the Lamb could. Listen, these truths are so simple, but they will get you through those emergencies. They did me. I had to remember that I'm free and I'm forgiven. Isn't it nice to know that you're forgiven? There are some human beings that will never forgive me for things I've done. But my God that made me and knew me in the womb forgives me. And I need to focus on that. So thirdly, we've been fulfilled. Verse 4, everything's been fulfilled. That the righteousness, and that really means that righteousness requirement in verse 4, of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Jesus is our sin offering. All the God's righteous requirements have been fulfilled in us. We no longer must be dominated by sin. We're different because of the Holy Spirit inside of us. And we must live out who we are in Christ by focusing on what God has done. If we want to get ourselves back on track when we're saying it's easier said than done, we need to remember the God we serve and what He's done for us already and put ourselves in check. So, all right. So the first thing is we have to remember where God, what God has done for us. And this is the second one. And these are really, this is deep stuff right here, guys, and that's total sarcasm. Think about what you think about. It's deep, right? Think about what you think about. So number one, focus on what God has done. Number two, think about what you think about. Verses 5 through 7. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So let's pause right there. Because really, I really like to translate this a little differently. Verse 5, for they that are after the flesh that set their minds the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. There's a little bit more to that. It's talking about us setting our minds to something. So it's not just fall into the sinful behavior. It's not just that we fall into the carnal nature. It's we've set our minds on it. You notice how many times he uses the word mind in these three verses. I've read it so many times that you cannot control your circumstances you've been put in, but you can control the mindset and how you respond. And I have to remind myself that because I respond horribly. Anybody else there? If there's 8 or if there's 10 times of a circumstance put in front of me, I blow it 8 times. And then I really blow it the other 2 because I celebrate those 2. I'm like, hey, did you see me? I got that one right. Yeah, you just blew that one. But I want us to hold our place in Romans, and I want you to go with me to 1 Samuel because this is amazing on God's word. Amen? 1 Samuel chapter 17. It's in the Old Testament. When you're there, say I'm there. And I want us to notice the mindsets because we can make that decision no matter what is facing, what's coming in our lives. We can make the choice in our mind with God, with the power of the Holy Spirit, to choose how we're going to respond to that circumstance. We wonder how these people get put in these circumstances of cancer and these huge emergencies and they seem to rise above it because they focus on what God has done. And they think about what they think about. And we're going to dive in a little bit more to this, what I'm talking about, think about what I think about. Look at David, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 24. Let me give you a little synopsis. There's Goliath. Many of us know the story. Goliath is on the scene, and he's calling out all of Israel's army. And Saul and his army are cowering, and they don't want to face Goliath because he's a 9-foot giant. I mean, in WWE terms, he is like, the king of the ring. He's the man. He is taking people out and he laughing and talking about it. Well, David, who's just a shepherd boy, he comes, his dad actually says, take them some food supplies and see how my sons are doing. Because some of David's brothers were there. So David shows up on the scene and in verse 24. So here's the circumstance. We're going to look at how a circumstance and two different individuals looked at it. Look at verse 24 of 1 Samuel 17. Verse 24 says, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. When they saw Goliath, they were scared to death and they ran and fled. And they were literally shaking in their boots. But then David shows up and he actually starts saying, but why are you guys putting up with this? What are you worried about that guy for? He does it so much that his brothers tell him, hey, just be quiet, okay, Dave? Be quiet. You're supposed to be over in the fields, right? So then somebody says, well, okay, and he talks to Saul. They talk about the rewards of the man is that takes him down. Saul says, well, here, take my armor, and it doesn't fit or it doesn't feel correct. And David grabs his sling and his five stones. And I want you to look at his response in verse 48. So flip with me to 48. And actually, I want us to go to 44 because I want to, he's facing the same situation that the army did. Verse 43. And the Philistine, which is Goliath, said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves or sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give you thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the fields. Pausing right there. Goliath, we don't want to keep going with Samson. Goliath is here saying, bring it, bro. Come at me. You're nothing but a little fair-skinned boy sitting there with your sticks. Come on. And look at David's response in verse 45. Then said to David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, and I come to thee in the name of who? The Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take the head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. He wasn't going to put up with any of his guff. He wasn't going to put up with it. He wasn't going to listen to it. And in verse 48, it says, and it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, and David hastened and ran towards the army to meet the Philistines. So in verse 24, you have the army of Israel running from this man, sore afraid. And in verse 48, you have a young teenage boy that was in the will of God running towards the giant and the armies, it said. Same circumstance, same problems, different responses. It's how we perceive and how we think about our God and our Father, what He's done. So it's how we think about the things that we think about. So how does that help with us? Well, number one, or letter A, or bullet point, you need to recognize you're at war. Believers, if you're here this morning, you're at war. You're at war with the devil. And I took this quote from Warren Wiersbe. He says this, what we need to allow ourselves to think about this, that we're in a lifelong struggle. Each of us, in effect, are walking in our own personal civil war. You're at war in your mind and in your spirit. They're warring against each other. Galatians 5, verse 17, as I shared last week, for the desires of the flesh are against the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh, for they are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. The devil is not out to play patty cake with you. He's out looking to destroy you. He's out looking to devour you. You're at war. And when we get out of bed in the morning, we need to make sure that we have our sword. And we've got to make sure we have our shield. And we've got to make sure we're right there with God so we can be like David and run headlong into it. Next thing we need to capture each thought and analyze it. Satan does declare war in the battlefield of your mind. That's why Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Don't let any thought go without being captured. If it's a good one, let it in. If it's a bad one, let it out. You remember the film Beautiful Minds? Anybody see that film? Well, John Nash is brilliant, right? And he has this destructive voices in his mind. And at the end of the movie, you see this brilliant man. I was totally mesmerized by the movie because I had no idea where it was going. By the end of the movie, you realized all these voices in his head took him down a road that he had no idea he was going to go down. And it said, he said this at the end of the movie, I'm not that different from you. We all hear voices. We just have to decide which ones we're going to listen to. We need to capture every thought that comes into our mind, everything that comes in our eye gate, our ear gate. We need to capture it. And if it's good, we file it. If it's garbage, we got to get it out. Amen? fill your mind with good things. You know that you'll start thinking, or they talk about now today, what is the things that they talk about why society is the way it is today? TVs, movies, video games. You can't tell me that video games depicting stealing cars, killing people, and picking up, I won't even go there, and running people over and destroying them, and you're putting that in your eye gate, in your ear gate, even 5, 6, 7 hours a day isn't going to put a print on your brain. It's allowing things in there that God does not desire or want you to have. Am I against video games? I didn't say that. I'm saying this, be careful what you put in there. You'll say, preacher, I'm okay, I got this. Okay. Philippians 4:8 says this, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You know, K-Love has a 30-day challenge. Anybody ever hear of the 30-day challenge? And they ask that if you just take 30 days and listen to positive Christian music for 30 days, nothing else, they have testimonies of people's lives changing from those 30 days. What you submit and put into your life will directly result in your actions out. There's a computer term. It's called garbage in, garbage out. You take the garbage in, it's going to come right back out. And I think that sometimes in my life, I'm not pointing at you, I'm talking about this guy right here. In my life, I let too much garbage in, and then I wonder why I'm stumbling over garbage when things come that they come. Our mind needs to be constantly reset to Jesus. And so I start praying something like this. When I start heading down those bad paths, I say, Lord Jesus, fill my heart and mind with your truths. I beg you to keep my thoughts on you, my desires on you. My flesh doesn't want me to honor you, but I need the Holy Spirit to come inside of me and to honor you. Because you know, God, left on my own, I will destroy everything that you've given me and everything I care for. And that leads to the final part of that. You need to talk tough to yourself. This may sound strange, but it's actually quite helpful that we audibly attack the error of your thinking. My wife can tell you, there's times I will say, nope, I'm not going to say it. And I wish sometimes I'd stop there, but I haven't. Then I'll say it, right? You audibly need to tell yourself, and there's kind of keys. You'll have somebody, anybody ever say this? I shouldn't say this, but... Hello, McFly! The but was there for you to say, no, I'm not, before you make yourself look like that word. We need to audibly tell ourselves. We need to, in verse 5 again, go back to verse 5 of Romans chapter 8. It says, for they are after the flesh that do mind these things, or that they set their minds on the things of the flesh. Christians, the reason why we stumble with it is because we put our minds there. And we need to talk tough to ourselves. We need to say, knock it off. Say, knock it off. Say, I need to knock it off. I was waiting for you smart Alex to say, yeah, you need to knock it off instead of I. Verse 6, look at verse 6. It says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And why is that? Well, because look at verse 7. Because the carnal mind is what? Enmity. It's a hatred towards God. Colossians 3:2 says, set your affection on the things above, not on the things on earth. Our carnal, fleshly mind hates God. That old nature, that old dog, hates everything to do with God. And that's why we'll struggle to open His Word. Anybody struggle to open the Word and read it? You just say, I don't really want to read it today. Yeah, some of you are honest. The rest of you are like, oh, no, preacher, I have no problem. I open it and I'm whistling all kinds of things. No, we struggle to open it. Other things pop up because our mind is enmity with God. So finally this. We got to submit to the Holy Spirit's control. That's the exact same point I said last week for any of you guys to take notes. It's the exact same point. We need to submit to the Holy Spirit's control. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't have spiritual life. This means every believer is home to the Holy Spirit. You don't need to ask Him to come in because He enters that conversion. You don't need a second blessing because He's never going to leave. Well, how do I do that? Well, Number one, the Holy Spirit resides and is alive in you. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't have it. But if you have trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. And He's alive. Everybody say alive. The Holy Spirit is alive, and He teaches you, and He talks to you. He is your comforter. Now, a lot of times we like to think a comforter is somebody comes along and gives us a pat on the back and say, attaboy, right? A comforter is going to tell you the truth. Amen? Not in first world problems. We don't want to be told the truth, do we? But a comforter is going to tell you the truth. If I'm messing up, you show love by coming and comforting me and admonishing me in the Lord. Can I get an amen? The Spirit resides and is alive in you. And the second thing to remember is this. He has a desire to control and lead you. Since the Holy Spirit lives within you, you must and I must give Him control of our lives. And I want you to listen to these 3 points here because this is really important. The issue is not getting more of the Holy Spirit, but allowing the Holy Spirit to have more of you. Did you get that? The issue is not getting more of the Holy Spirit, but allowing the Holy Spirit to have more of you. I love it when I turn on a radio or I listen to somebody say, well, you just got to have more of the Holy Spirit. No, the Holy Spirit's got to have more control over your life. At salvation, you get all the God you're going to get. There's not like this big cup up there and they go, oh, we'll pour a little bit in at a time. When we receive Christ, we get it all. As born-again believers, we don't need to receive the Holy Spirit. We need to respond to the Holy Spirit that we've already received. Too often we'll say, well, I just need to plug into the Holy Spirit. I need more of Him. No, you need to surrender your life more to Him and listen to Him. Respond to what He's already telling us. Galatians 5:16. This is I say unto you, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So how do I not be after the carnal mind? Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, the new dog, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Another translation puts it this way, keep in step with the Spirit. The key is to keep in step with the Spirit, not lagging behind and not racing ahead. I come back to my beginning, easy for you to say. Really, is it easier to say, but isn't it the same with everything else? Our relationship with God is what we put into it. The more we strive to be like the example of Jesus set forth, the more we'll look like it, right? The more we do for something, the more it's going to show the result too. So the question is, how? Well, you got to put work in. You got to change your mind and renew your mindset. You got to go to Romans 12, 1 and 2 daily, maybe even hourly. Do you know what that verse is? Well, let's go see. This needs to be the mindset of everyone. Matter of fact, if you got a great Bible, it says right at the top, responsibilities of us towards God. This is what we can do for Him. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's the same with relationships, healthy living, money management, parenting, jobs, etc. You got to focus, you got to think and submit. God will work out the details. Why is God blessing Bethel? Because our focus is on what God's done. Our focus on what God's done here. The minute we lose focus on that, we'll grow weak and we'll flee. The only reason why Bethel has been so successful for 40 years is because it remembers what God has done for it. It was built on the back of Jesus Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection, no other man. Now we have constant reminders of godly people that have been through this church, but this church is built on Jesus Christ and Him alone. And that's why, because we stay focused and we think, we set our mindset, we have an attitude, and I even put in my notes, we have a swagger because we recognize that we're at war. We're humbly pondering God's direction, filling our minds with His faithfulness and being real with ourselves. Can you be real with yourself? And we submit to the leading and control of the Holy Spirit. If we're left to our carnal minds, we will live in the spirit of fear. So in closing, I want to challenge you with this thought that I had. There have been times this month, this week, sometimes daily, I lose focus. I think, and I quit submitting. I don't think about it, and I quit it. When I fall into this carnal mind, I lose control, I get overwhelmed with anxiety, and I have no anchor, and it's scary. I want to tell you, this is my mindset. I'll say it one more time, so I want you to think about it. If any of that is the same with you, there are times in a month, a week, and even a day that I lose focus on what God's done for me. I quit submitting, and I fall into a carnal mind. I lose control. I get overwhelmed with anxiety. I have no anchor, and I'm scared. It's a place where I'm reminded of my failures, frustrations, and then I hear the whispers that I'm worthless. I become a quitter, and all I can think about is running and running from what God has told me and running from my family and my friends. I think about resigning the church and going off into oblivion. That's where my carnal mind takes me. Is it the same for you? Are you tired? Is it growing tougher every day to put on a smile and play the part? Let's be honest this morning. Well, I'm here to tell you it doesn't have to be that way. We can have victory because God of this universe already won the victory for us. And He did the work. We just got to keep our eyes on Him. And if we just keep our eyes on Him for these three simple focus points, these are what draw me back to my anchor, Jesus Christ. So when I'm starting to feel out there, when I'm starting to feel like I'm losing it, when I'm starting to lose my focus, when I'm thinking about running away from everything, when I'm thinking about just doing anything, I come back to these things. What has God done for me? He saved my soul. He gave me a beautiful family that I don't even deserve on my best day. And think about what I thought. Think about what are the things I'm allowing into my eye gates. I'm not capturing them. I'm watching and putting myself in places I should not put myself. I'm not recognizing I'm at a war with the devil and I'm allowing him all the ammunition. Have you thought about that? A lot of times we just give him all the ammunition and go to war. And then I don't submit to the Holy Spirit's control. So daily we need to focus on what He's done, what we think about. We need to capture and kick out the garbage of our mind. And we need to submit to the Holy Spirit. The choice is yours. So that's the challenge this morning. And I'm going to have everybody stand up. And Paige is going to play the piano. And we're not going to sing. And everybody's just going to look here, forward. And I want to ask, are you focusing, are you thinking, are you submitting to God? And as she plays the piano, and maybe you've had those days that I've described, maybe you haven't. Would you be willing to say, God, I'm refocusing my attention on you. You're my anchor point. I want to put all that focus on you this morning. I want these three points in this scripture etched into my mind so that tomorrow when the battle starts, when I wake up and I step my foot out of bed to go to war, that I'm ready to go. And then I'm going to recognize the devil has got all kinds of ammunition, but I give him too much. I'm already on the victory side of this. If that's your desire, will you come forward and pray? Maybe you've not trusted in Christ. Yes, come. And maybe you've not trusted in Christ. Maybe you've not been a believer. What's it going to take? You're fighting a battle you're never going to win without Jesus Christ. You can never be good enough to earn heaven. Because God says there's none righteous, no, not one. You have to place your trust in your heart, your belief, your desire, your all in all in Jesus Christ. You have to recognize that you're a sinner that needs a Savior, and you have to surrender to it. And that surrendering is going to actually have consequences to where you become a follower of Jesus Christ and your desires change to Him. If you've done that this morning, would you believe, if you've trusted in Him as a testimony to others, would you raise your hand? As people are looking around, you've trusted in Him. Amen. I'm not going to ask those of you that don't know to do that, but I want you to be challenged. Would you come talk to me after the service? Let me introduce you to Jesus. so that you can start focusing on what he's done for you. Paige is going to play one more verse of invitation. Anybody want to come forward and pray? Join these that are here. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you again for this morning. And God, I know that there are more people than just me that fall off. And so God, I pray that you give them the strength. God, I pray you help them to stay focused on you. Lord, I pray that you would purpose upon their heart a new desire, a new commitment to read your word before they do anything else. God, as we sat in small group, I could sit there and put my finger on the fact of how many times I've gotten out of the habit of reading your word the very first thing I do when I get up. And Lord, I could track it back. So God, I thank you for giving me that awakening. Lord, I pray you do the same for everybody here. We need to be in your word. Lord, strengthen them today. Lord, I don't know the battles they're dealing with, but there are people here that are dealing with depression. They're dealing with situations and things that none of us could even fathom to know. Lord, I pray you give them the strength. And Lord, I pray you give them the people to surround them that will love them and pray for them and not talk about them and not hurt them. And Lord, I pray that we'd be a body that loves each other and helps those that are hurting in the body. We have a responsibility for each other, not to kick each other, but to help each other up. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for all you've done for us. And Lord, I pray that you bind marriages together, friendships, parents, children, families. Lord, I pray you bind them. Lord, I pray we see miracles. Lord, I pray we see salvations of people because they see just the love in this church. And Lord, I'm not talking about a squishy love. I'm talking about a love that stands even when tough times come. That when everybody else runs, we stand with each other. May we have the heart of David to challenge, to run in and say, how dare you talk about my God that way? And defend with our lives. We love you and thank you. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.